Recording in progress.
Great. So good evening. So Neil, I will introduce you for a really short introduction. So Neil's journey to become a systematic team coach started as a rugby coach and leading operational USA Navy teams. Building on those leadership lessons, Neil was certified as a SUN coach in 2012. Neil is a PCC coach. His passion is to help the team take their games to the next level, focusing on the organization that build or maintain things or support humanity. He currently works with complex project management teams, executive industrial, maritime maintains project. And today, Neil will speak about avoiding male practice as a team coach. Thank you for coming.
Well, thank you. And I'm going to start by sharing just a couple slides. And the first one I want to share is, I'm having issues with my technology. There it is. Are you seeing my thank you slide?
Yes.
That's better.
Okay, so the first thing I want to start off with saying thank you. Thank you to Terry for inviting and encouraging me to speak. And I'm so excited and honored to be here, so thank you. I want to thank Ortel for all the behind-the-scenes work, the coordination to get this thing coordinated. And for the folks that are attending, thank you, because I know the efforts that it takes to make these calls. So I'm very appreciative of everything you've done and not done to be here. So thank you very much for that. With the numbers we have, it's going to be great. It'll be a really informal conversation. And I'm going to start off with talking a little bit about myself so you know who I am. Obviously, Terry knows who I am, but I show this slide. This is what we call our bio slide, because this is one of the best practices I've picked up over working at the shipyard, is when we do our introductions, have something visual, some pictures of us. So my journey to being a team coach started really when I started playing rugby. And that's how I started getting into sports and working with teams. And eventually, as I became more and more age enhanced, I got into coaching and refereeing and administrating. So I learned a lot about, and I didn't realize this at the time, the foundational lessons that I needed to be a coach. My other piece that I had is, I joined the Navy and learned about operating teams, actual day-to-day leadership. And I'll be pulling some examples today from my work at the shipyard, but also from my coaching experience and how that came about. But otherwise, once I got out of the Navy in 2008, I got into coaching because the universe spoke to me. I tried to get into a mentorship program that I was not accepted, and they introduced me to Melanie Ott, who I think all of you all know. But she introduced me to SUN Coaching. We walked through. We learned my. She helped me learn my life purpose, and how to focus my life around that, and so. Decided I wanted to be a coach at that point. Went in, got my training with Terry, graduated, I think, in 2012 as a certified SUN coach. And I started down the path to where I wanted to explore in coaching. When I realized in my first couple of years out, I was doing a lot of career coaching and realized that wasn't my niche. And again, the universe spoke while I was renewing my ACC working with Kathy Harmon, an opportunity to work at the shipyard. And I've been there now 4.5 years, working with large and very complex either shops, which if you think of when you're redoing your house, you need a carpenter or a plumber. Those are the shops, or large project teams working on Navy carriers or submarines. So I've been doing that for about 4.5 years, and we've really got into coaching of systems or organizations. So we're not only coaching a team, we're coaching multiple teams and helping them connect between the two of them. It's pretty exciting. And I guess the real benefit of working in a shipyard, it's my petri dish. I get to take when I learn something and immediately apply it and see how it can improve what I'm doing. So that's a little bit about me. I do have a few slides that I'll share during the rest of the presentation, but very, very few. Mostly I want this to be a conversation. At points I will ask folks to share. That's if you decide to or not to, it's all voluntary, no pressure to do that. And at the end of my presentation, I'm going to ask you to reflect on what we've talked about and see if may apply to your current practice and if it drives any questions for us to talk about. So that's kind of where a little bit about me and the expectations, if you will. Also, any questions you come up, I have some time at the end scheduled for questions. But if you could throw them in the chat box, and I'm going to ask Portal to kind of keep an eye on that. So if there's some that shows up as burning questions, we can answer them right away. But we make sure we cover them at the end. So with that, let's talk about some team coaching and kind of get into the actual meat of the presentation. So team coaching is a very quick, evolving and exciting discipline right now. You know, ICF has just revised some new team coaching capability or competencies, and they've created a new team coaching credential. There are many different methodologies coming around, what I kind of refer to as how-to methodologies. And all of this is quickly evolving, and it's an exciting time to be within the team coaching world. The challenge, most of us start off learning how to coach individuals and do one-on-one coaching in whatever our niche may be. And I will take a second and say I'm really happy and have a lot of gratitude that I came up through the Sun methodology. It is so applicable to team coaching as well as individual coaching. So that's when you can almost just take that methodology, apply it to a team, and be good to go. So much things that we learn there are very much useful, and I've been very happy that I went through that. But most of the current work and literature is really focused initially on team building and facilitation, and that's morphing into more of how to coach. ICF has really identified that the team development process has many different methodologies. You have some consulting, you have some mentoring, you have team building, you have facilitation, just to name a few. So we all fit in this umbrella of how to develop a team. Now, team coaching, in my experience, and I think in the experience of a lot of organizations, is having a huge impact. You have a much bigger impact than one-on-one coaching in terms of the organization. Couple quick examples. The New Orleans Women's Rugby Club, who I was their head coach for a little over a year, they were really experienced, high-level players. But they couldn't put together to make a run at the championship. And what it really was is they were a group of individuals, and they hadn't learned yet how to work as a team. So when they brought when I came in to be their team coach, we worked on team dynamics and how to work with a team using the team coaching approach. And we were able to get them into the national championship tournament. And the year that I coached them, they ended up in the top 16 in the nation. And just by helping and working and partnering with them. Another example of where team coaching has had a real impact is I was working with a project that during when COVID came out. And that, as you can imagine, for a organization that you have to be on board to do your work. You can't fix a submarine from home. That they were really struggling. How do we take care of the mechanics? How do we maintain safety but yet get work done? And I was an embedded coach with them, and they were creating different plans. And the simple things that – and I didn't realize this till later, the impact on this. But I just asked a question, a couple quick questions. Is this the right thing to do? They had some questions around their plan. And when they said, yes, it is, I just asked them, what's keeping you from doing it? And those two simple questions were the catalyst to get them moving and implementing a plan that worked out very, very well. So those are two quick examples of where team coaching has had impact for me. So what are we going to talk about today as we go through? Like I say, we're going to wander through what team coaching is. We're going to talk about the definition and talk about how it fits in that developmental process. And then we're going to really talk about what is malpractice, in my opinion, and then what are strategies to perform as a coach and not do what I call malpractice. And really, at the end of the day, it's how are we taking care of ourselves? What is our coaching presence to be able to move that forward? So I'd like to start with a couple foundational concepts, which I think are important. The literature is ever evolving on team coaching. A lot of different folks are looking into it. It started probably in the 70s, where it really started picking up steam with Blanchard. But we've had like Wagman and Hackman that have done a lot of information around like governmental teams, action teams, that sort of stuff. So there's always something new coming up in terms of the literature that we're going. It's ever evolving. So keep an eye on what comes out, and it's never dull. Let's say it's always interesting to go through. The other one I'd like to talk about is a coach leader versus a professional coach. And the reason I want to talk about that is the fact of the matter is the examples I give as my coach of the New Orleans Rugby Club, that's as a coach leader. I was the head coach. I was part of the team. I made directions, decided strategy and whatnot. So I did things that a professional coach, and I think of as a professional coach as somebody that's been credentialed, been through training. As a professional coach, I wouldn't say go do this. I am there to support, but not direct. And I think there's an important distinction between the coach leader and the professional coach in terms of my examples. And I want to make sure that is as clear as we're giving them. I learned a lot about coaching from being the head coach, but it is a different role. Let's talk about, you know, kind of what is the team. And where the difference between, as far as all the different developmental methodologies, really speaks to who's setting the agenda. If you're a consultant, you're setting the agenda. As a team coach, the team's setting the agenda. They're figuring out where they want to go. And my job as a team coach is to support that, just like if we were talking to an individual. The other thing about it, in terms of coaching around a team, you are dealing with one entity, just like you are with individual coaching. So now the challenge with a team is they have multiple personalities. So if you have a four-member team, you have at least four different personalities to manage and keep track of. Where if I'm dealing with one person, I have that one person to work with. But the question is, and we got some, I'm going to add a question here because I think we have some time. How do you define what a team is? Any idea what a definition of a team is? Anybody want to share?
It's a small group of people who are committed to a common goal and that shares the values and okay. the rules and of the functioning of the group. So rules, values, and goals.
Rules, values, and goals. Okay.
And maybe vision. They create the same vision to
same
go
vision.
Through.
So any other thoughts? Now, the definition of a team, a simple one, and it incorporates everything that has been mentioned, but it's two or more team members that are working interdependently to achieve a common goal. It's interesting, the definition for systems is very, very close, but it's two or more people working interdependently to achieve a common goal. So with that, there is a whole bunch of definitions on what team coaching is, and they're all wordy. So I'm going to share this real quickly. And I was asked if I'm sharing a PowerPoint. I don't have a whole PowerPoint to share. I have several slides that here and there. But so this is several definitions. On the left is the definitions that of individual coaching, and on the right is team coaching. I think when you take a minute to read through them, you see where the individual coaching is that. It is focused on having a conversation, helping people move forward. Where team coaching is helping that entity, that team, move forward, and helping that team work through their issues. Now, that is very wordy. This is the way I think of team coaching. Does everybody see the planetary system?
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I have this, so if I am doing one-to-one coaching, say I'm coaching Jupiter. Jupiter is setting the agenda. We're figuring out what I as a coach need to support them. We create the goals for that person and create the interventions to move that person forward. Well, if I'm coaching the planetary team, which has, in this case, 9, 10 if you count the sun, now my entity is the system, that whole planetary system. And as a coach, one of the interesting things about the universe is the humans, either through aided device or our naked eye, we can only see about 5% of the universe. 95% is invisible to us. And that's the space between the planets in this case. And that space is where we coach, those connections between the individual team members. And if we're looking externally, we're part of the Big Dipper, and a big universe as a whole. So we have external teams we connect with. So as a team coach, we're working between those connections and making sure that the team has a purpose, make sure the team has a vision, and they're working towards achieving what they want. So I find that a little bit easier to visualize what team coaching is. As far as that goes. Okay. So, quick question. If we have one relationship with coaching individuals, how many relationships do we have if we're coaching a four-person team? Any guesses? I throw it in the chat
We may have five relationships, one with each member and then the one with the wall.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Between them. Between the...
Yep. So there's... Yes,
Sharon. The member.
Like 16 or, I mean, one for every permutation.
Yep. So for a four-person team, it is 20. Because you're also part of that relationship group.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't understand, David. I understand your
we can't hear you, David.
Right, four to the fourth. Come si dice, una quattro alla quarta. Una,
okay, I think I got four, the idea.
The multiplicator. Four.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. And that's the math that I have is 20. But to David's point, it is very, very interrelated. There's many, many more. So if a team of eight, by the math that I have, has 72 relationships to manage. So that's a good reason why you want to keep your teams close, because they become very, very complex, those connections. And really, again, I think to David's point, we're not just looking at the team that we're talking to. They have connections outside of the team, either senior to the side or junior to them. So there's all kinds of connections, and that's really where we're working, how to make those connections work better versus developing each one of those connections to work. So as we're moving, that's kind of what makes team coaching really complicated, is the number of connections you have. But there's also another thing that's happening. During a team coaching engagement, which by definition is a project, so it has a beginning, middle, and end. Very rarely will you have a team coaching engagement where you just meet them once. Not sure if you can truly, by the definitions, do that. But we as team coaches play many different roles. Dr. Hauser has a paper called Shapeshifting, where she identifies four roles that we play, from advisor to like mentor, catalyst, and a simulator. So as we go through the arc of the engagement, based on where the team is, we will adjust our role a little bit. And as identified, there is a lot of different subspecialties that provide that support. You have people that specialize in team building and training and that sort of stuff. So as a team coach, you are really balancing all of these things all at once, which is where it gives you a huge opportunity for what I call malpractice. And that may not be the best term, but where I think of malpractice is if I have agreed with you to be your team coach, but I veer out and I'm a trainer and I act as a trainer, that's not practicing coaching. If I veer out and I avoid our competencies as a professional coach, asking leading questions, providing advice, that's the type of things that I see as veering away and not practicing as a coach. So there are it's easy to do. And let me give you kind of an example that from my current situation. So these are large, complex teams that I have, say, as the senior leadership team for 45 minutes a week, which is a huge time commitment for them to get these four senior leaders in a room together for an hour. Understanding that, it's and I've done similar work. So as they're going through some challenges, it is very easy and tempting for me to say, hey, here's something to consider. This is the way to do it because we only have a short period of time. But that's not coaching. I'm acting as a consultant when I do that. So that's where I'm saying I'm leaving coaching and not practicing correctly. So that's my thought on that. I have another colleague that has spent 20 plus years as a corporate trainer. She is fabulous. You couldn't ask for a better trainer. Now, she went and got her coaching credentials for this particular position. A challenge for her to go through is not to fall back on what her habits are and her far more experience as a trainer, but to stay in the realm of a coach. And that can be difficult, but that's we can deal with that, and that's a challenge for us as a coach not to veer away and as I say, practice incorrectly. Now there's a bunch of how-to classes out there, all the different methodologies, do step A, B, and C. My opinion is that's not the way to, avoid these problems, but it's really to look at ourselves and how are we showing up? What is our presence? And so I want to talk about three, what I call strategies for keeping ourselves on track. First of all, it's looking at ourselves, looking at the team and understanding the team, and understanding the system the team works in. So if we can focus on us to start with, and I like to focus on us to begin with because we have full control over this. Nobody else, we don't need anybody else to change this. So the first thing when we're thinking about ourselves is to claim have confidence in our authority. And what I mean by authority is not arrogance. I know and you don't. But when we're called in to be a team coach with folks, it's like in my case, they are experts. They are excellent at managing projects. They know how to do industrial maintenance. When I was working with the New Orleans women rugby team, they knew how to play rugby. They were technical experts, knew the game far better than I would ever know it. What I know is my ability to help with team dynamics, help with team behaviors, doing things around leading teams And that's driven by my technical knowledge and by my training and my lifelong experience that I can bring in. But claiming that authority, that expertise, so when you're going through, you can bring in some hard observations. An example of that was I was working with a project, and where I sit, I'm effectively an internal coach. So I was sitting with some lower level managers, and they were constantly complaining that the project superintendent never talked to them, and the leadership never talked to them. So when we had our coaching meeting, I was able to toss up that softball. This is what I'm observing. What do you think? And they were able to work through it, so that the project soup just changed the door he walked in every morning, so he changed his path so he could talk to people. But it's that authority, my observations that I brought in. So we helped them become aware of an issue they didn't even think about. So that's where claiming your authority really comes to bear. To talk about an example with my rugby coaching. The same rugby team that I was saying they're really good. Well, we got to games on Saturday. Now, caveat, this is a coach leader. We got to games on Saturday, and we were doing very basic work because people were flying in, and they were not making the Wednesday practice. So I was able to go to the team, the senior players, and say, this is what I'm observing. We have a practice set up to do basic skills, learn how to work as a team. And then on Saturday, we can do minor tweaks, so we're able to do that. So I tossed up the softball to them. What do you think? What should we be able to do about this? And they decided that if you don't show up on Wednesday practice, you can't start on Saturday. And in rugby, that's a big deal. And particularly that time, there was no substitutions, except for injury. So if you didn't start, the likelihood is you got very few minutes of playing. The impact of that was we recruited more players for New Orleans, and two other teams were started because of that. And the team that I was coaching started gelling, all because I had claimed my authority and brought something to bear. So that's what I mean by claiming and having confidence in our authority. The next thing is our baggage and our biases. As we're moving from one meeting to another, if I was frustrated with my particular client at that time and carried that over, I got to be cognizant of that. How is that impacting the way I'm working with this person? Biases. A big bias right now is, for at least in the U.S., is the mandate for the vaccine. Many different viewpoints on that. Now, if I take that and take my bias one way or the other, and that impacts my coaching, to me, we're not practicing as a coach. We have to be cognizant of our own biases as we're moving and working with our team. And how am I doing for time? Okay. There's another one, and this is a learning edge for me. It's called the synthetic states, I believe is the way, and I believe it comes out of the Hindu tradition. But it's understanding where you get your energy and what parts of the body and pulling that out and recognizing that. But among that is also is how tired are you? Just how is your body feeling? Some real basic things. So for me, coaching is a very mentally draining and exhausting time. So I have had to set boundaries that says two coaching meetings per day is what is ideal. I don't want to do three, and I will not do four, because I know by the time I get to the fourth meeting, I'm not doing a good job as a coach. I'm grumpy, I'm irritable, and just not doing well in the realm of being a coach. So understanding your energy and how you bring it, and I'm learning more about that Centex text, because how can I change my energy that changes the room? And how do I recognize where I come through? So that's a learning edge for me. And then Gestalt therapy has a concept of field and ground. And it's kind of where are you paying attention to? With an individual, it's pretty easy. You're kind of paying attention mostly to the individual. But with all those relationships, you have to pay attention and move from, am I focusing on a specific group or am I looking back at the whole group? So there's many times if you see two team members that are not getting along and they're dominating the conversation, if all I'm doing is focusing on them, I may miss the two team members that are on their phone not paying attention at all. And being able to bring that to the team. What's up? How do you see this? So it's varying how you look. Are you looking specifically focused? Or are you looking at the whole picture? An example that's coming from my rugby is helping referees practice. A real common effort or a mistake that referees have is they focus on where the ball is. They are so focused on what's happening with the ball, they're not looking to left or right. They're not looking behind them. And players will notice that and will cheat. They will take advantage of the fact that the ref's not looking. So we have to work with refs to every so often change their view to look at it. And the same thing's true when you're team coaching. Don't get so focused on one thing that you miss. There's also a really good YouTube video out there where it shows a basketball team and the commentator asks you to watch the team practice and count the number of bounce passes or something. You go through that, and then at the end of it, the commentator asks them, did you see the gorilla that walked in the background? And that's just a great example of field and ground. And as a coach, we have to vary what we're looking at. The final thing for individuals, and this is one for me, is before I walk into a coaching meeting, I have to consciously think about what type of coaching I'm doing. Am I doing an individual one-to-one leadership performance? Am I working with a team? Or am I working with a group? So I have to sit down and mentally say, I am coaching this team and this is where we're at. And so I have to orientate myself to my client. So there's a lot that we can take care of as far as just taking care of ourselves. So as we move into well, first of all, let me ask you this, and I'm sorry for being a little discombobulated. Anyone want to share where this may show up in your practice? Okay. So I want to now move a little bit into taking a look at understanding the team. And really, it's understanding, first of all, the system the team is working in. And these are kind of, there it is. I want to share this particular slide. So as a coach, can you see the six lenses of systemic coaching? So as a team coach, you're looking at the entire system that they're working in. And I'm pulling this from John Larry Joyce and Hillary Lyons. And so when I'm looking at this, there's all the way out to the wider context, the environment. And if you think about, we don't think environment hitting our teams, we can say COVID. We're all just coming out of mask wearing, how we adjust our activities is all function of that environmental impact of COVID. But looking at geopolitical issues, the economy, legal, all those things can impact the team we're looking at, you know, the wider stakeholders, the clients, the customers. How do they impact? So you want to look at what is driving them. I'm going to go back to my New Orleans women's example. The reason everybody flew in to meet to games was there was not that many women's teams that played competitive matches. So the system encouraged people to kind of create these hybrid teams to create competitive nature. So that's the system that the folks I was coaching reacted to. So we, you know, looked at that and said, how can we create what we want, understanding the system they're working on. So then if you look at the interior, there's team task, mission, team dynamics, interpersonal and individual. That's the system within the team. Those are the relationships, making sure that they have a meaningful task. It's just not make work. Is it attached to the purpose? Why are they there? And understanding what is the value that they bring. So it's both an internal system and an external system we want to pay attention to. And so how can we be more present to that is by understanding the system. Then when we take a look then internally and understanding the team, there are many things that we can look at that goes back to that system. Can we help them understand, are they a real team? And what I mean by a real team is, do they understand who's on it? Do we have the same people on that team every week? Or is it a very fluctuating team? Being attuned to those team dynamics and do they have the skills to be a team? Do they understand how to handle conflict? So understanding and being aware of where the team is, you can adjust how you coach. And where this showed up for me is when I left the New Orleans women, who was a very, very high caliber team. They had high experience. I moved to Portland and started coaching a team. They said, hey, we want to be national champions. I know you've worked with New Orleans. And I coached them that way. They weren't ready. They didn't have the technical skills. They didn't have the teamwork to work at that level. So I failed miserably at that because I did not adjust to where they were at and met them where they were, so I could coach them appropriately. So that was a major, I call it a quality fail. understanding. I need to understand where they're at. The other thing we need to understand in terms of is, who are we coaching? Are we coaching two teams and the connections between them? For example, a leadership team and a production team. Or are we coaching that leadership team? So understanding exactly where we're fitting into the system. And what type of team are they? Are they a team of team leaders, or are they a team of individual contributors? So understanding those type of things is real important. Okay. We have gone through the three strategies, the really looking care of at ourselves, pay attention to our energy, paying attention to the presence, paying attention to what we're focusing on, paying attention to systems, both internal, the team, you know, what type of team, the team dynamics, understanding what type, you know, why of the team and that sort of stuff. And understanding what, you know, where are we fitting into the system? Are we the connections? Are we doing a team of teams type environment? So what I would like to do, with your permission, I would invite you. I'd like to take, we got about 8 minutes, correct? For till we're completely done. Okay, good. So I'd like to take, let's take a minute, and if you care to, I'd like you to reflect on the strategies, the things I talked around team coaching, and where is it that you could reflect on where it could show up in your practice, and how could you use this today, and what questions does that bring up? So I'd like to take about a minute and invite you to either to go off camera while you do it, but just think about and reflect on the information and how you might apply it. Okay? Okay, when you're ready, I invite you to come back to the room. Okay, so, yes, Terry.
So I will not be doing team coaching. However, my family would be considered a team. So I definitely will be using a lot of what you're offering in the family constellation. And I thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. And your point's well taken. Team does not have to be a work construct. Anything else anybody would like to share or any questions? Yes, Sharon.
So right now I'm coaching an executive, and now I'm coaching one of his direct reports. And there's a lot going on with team dynamics, and I'm also kind of coaching him on restructuring his department. Mm-hmm. So I've found I've had to be really clear with myself about I'm not coaching the team.
Mm-hmm.
I am coaching him. I am coaching this other individual and keeping that straight.
Yes.
And there was actually some work to do with they did have a retreat for the group, and I subcontracted actually and had another person come in and do that work. So I was a bit behind the scenes, which was helpful mm-hmm. for me, because I'm coaching him and also the second person within the context of yep. this larger system and all of that. So I think your point about what hat you're wearing and who you're coaching to what end is really important. I think there's probably going to be other members of his team at certain points that I'm going to coach, but the focus will be really on their development within the structure in alignment with what his vision is, the chief of the yeah. department. So, it's just interesting, you know, because I've done groups and team before, but specifically not doing that so that I can focus on the individual leadership coaching.
Yeah, and that's a great example of where contracting comes in. you know, and getting in a clear agreement and understanding with who you're coaching and how you're supporting them. So, yes, Terry.
Put in the chat, too, if I was team coaching, in order to let them know there might be other things I'm bringing in, I would list all those roles. I mean, you gave about 8 different roles that is possible to bring in, and I would present it, position it in a way of, you're getting a really good person here to be your team coach because I understand these different roles, and I'm to support you and be of service, I might be sometimes moving into those for a while.
Yes. I just would like to build on that. It's so important because you are such a partner, and I'd say more of an obvious partner with team coaching, to have those discussions about what you are doing and what you're not doing, and delineating. Hey, it's been my experience anyway. That's very helpful. Okay, and I'm going to probably mispronounce your name. I apologize. Paula? Did you have your hand up?
Hi, I'm Paula. No, I did not, but I could share my thoughts.
Okay.
As you were sharing your experience with the rugby team, I had the invitation to check deeply for skills, training, joy of working in and determine goal, because sometimes you are, as a coach with your bias, you assume that the big goal is you are qualified to it, and sometimes sometimes you are not, your client or your the team is not.
Great. Okay, we're right at 1 o'clock Eastern, so David, you have your hand up. So we'll make this the last question.
Okay. I think that a lot of the time for team coaching is not team coaching, because I have to first make sure that they are a team and help them to be team first.
Yes.
What do you think about what is your experience?
Oh, you're spot on. You're absolutely true. I refer that to as structural coaching, as helping them become a team and understand things like, how do you share information? Who's on the team? Have them see themselves as a team. I would say you're exactly right on. If they don't know they're a team, you can't coach them as a team.
Thank you.
So with that, we're at the end of time. So I want to thank you all again. This has been great. From a selfish point of view, I have learned so much in preparation for today. But I really appreciate all your attention and your efforts and your participation. So with that, I'll turn it over to Ortel or to Terry.
Thank you very much, Neil. Thank you so much. It was very interesting. Oh, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay. Yeah. I said thank you very much. It was very interesting, your points of view. And I think that you point some observation how to see for me. I knew the definition between group and team. But the relationship, it's not only between me and them. There are more than that. So this was a very good point for me. Thank you.
Super.
I also want to say thank you very much. I'm now unmuted.
You're on mute.
After telling you. I also want to say thank you very much, Neil, for taking the time to put this all together. It's been especially valuable that you had content and you also have experience. And I treasure both of those integrated the way you presented it. So thank you so much. Good to see you again.
Well, thank you so much. It's been great. I will talk team coaching ad nauseum. So if anybody wants further conversation, I'm absolutely open to having a great conversation.
And maybe people bring Neil, to your ICF chapter. Right? That's a big one.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
All right.
Ciao.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.